Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay and all ready for the long bank holiday weekend. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. It's Friday, the 22nd of August. Coming up, a nurse with a very rare form of cancer hopes to raise £70,000 for immunotherapy. And we hear from the Jules boss before this weekend's game against top of the table Crewe Alexandra. But first, ahead of the August bank holiday weekend, we're being encouraged to visit part of the Kent coast, despite its poor water quality rating. The owners of Dymchurch Amusement Park say there's more to do there than just swimming. Last November, the Environment Agency downgraded the beach's water quality to poor and issued a no swim warning, something that's also happened to nearby Littlestone and Deal, just a bit further along the coast. Well, earlier this year, Jacob Walls from the amusement park told us how he feared for the future of his business.
I'm here every day. Try and improve a business, trying to expand, trying to earn a living, and it feels like everything's going against us, particularly this year.
And what do you think it would, if worse came to worse and you weren't able to survive, what impact do you think that would have on not only the Dymchurch community, but also the wider community in terms of not providing amusement?
I think the impact would be huge. The caravan sites here. If you go to Dymchurch for the amusement park and the beach, that's all you go to Dymchurch for. And at the moment, it's looking like we're not going to get the beach. So if you haven't got the amusement park, what are you going to go to Dymchurch for in this area?
So you think it would have a knock-on effect to all the other businesses, the pubs?
Every business here, I would say nearly every business here would have a huge impact. I don't know how they'd survive.
So your fear really is for the entire village, really?
Absolutely.
And all the businesses in the entire village?
Yeah.
Do you think it's sort of, I mean, obviously it's happened now. The water quality is that level. What are your thoughts on the fact that it was even able to get to this point, that it's got to a point where the seas are so dirty that people aren't able to swim in it?
It's terrible, isn't it? It's terrible. I don't know how it's got to this point and I don't know who's in charge of it or how it's even been allowed. But it's here now and we have to deal with it.
Thankfully, they've not seen a huge drop in customers since the downgrading, but there are calls for more regular testing of the water, so the area isn't blighted for quite so long. Back in April, local MP Tony Vaughan visited the stretch of coast to show how tests could be done quickly to provide more up-to-date results.
Government and the local authority has an obligation to inform people about water quality, and that's got to be right. The issue is that the Environment Agency only tests the water for half of the year, and then in the half of the year in the bathing season when they do test it, it's at these weekly or more periodic points. Now, you know, that's fine, but actually we need to have more data from more places to show us whether the sea on a particular day is safe. And if we have the technology and it's quick enough to tell us that the sea is safe to swim in today, then we should be rolling that out, and that way we can address this problem where people can, you're sort of blacklisting a whole beach and a whole area. And there's businesses over there that rely on this. There are people that rely on swimming in the sea for their mental health. You know, we've got to take a more clever approach to this, I think.
Now, it's hoped the rating will be upgraded by the end of the summer. According to the Environment Agency website, the most recent test took place on August the 12th. It showed almost no traces of E. coli, far less than the same time last year.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories for you today. In a primary school worker from Medway who was caught with thousands of indecent images has been jailed. George Ross from Beaconsfield Road in Chatham worked in breakfast and after school clubs. The court heard there was no evidence the 26-year-old had ever tried to sexually assault any youngster. He's been locked up for 2 years and 10 months. A third person's been charged by police investigating the death of a delivery driver in Gravesend. Officers were called to reports of a disturbance outside a property in Augustine Road last Tuesday night, and a 33-year-old later died from stab wounds. Two people have already been charged with murder. Now a 50-year-old is accused of assisting an offender. Police have uncovered a cannabis farm after raiding a former charity building in Medway. There have been reports of suspicious behaviour at the old Arethusa Venture Centre in Lower Upnor. Officers seized a number of cannabis plants. So far, no one's been arrested. And the trial of an e-bike rider accused of killing a 91-year-old great-grandfather in Rochester is due to go ahead 2 years earlier than expected. James Blackwood died in hospital 3 months after allegedly being hit by the vehicle outside his home in July 2023. 50-year-old Clifford Cage from the Fairway was initially told the case would be heard in 2028. It's now been brought forward to September next year. He's due to enter pleas next month.
Kent Online reports.
A woman who moved to Kent when the war started in Ukraine has told the podcast she doesn't think the Russian president will ever agree to meet Volodymyr Zelensky. Donald Trump has started plans to bring the leaders together after meeting them separately over the past week. Well, Margarita Bondarenko is from Kyiv and now lives in Canterbury. She's not impressed with what she's heard in recent days.
Frankly speaking, this is very frustrating. What's really going on now in the world? And I don't think that disappointing a Putin favoring an embarrassing meeting could be even called like peace talks, you know. For us, it looked less like diplomacy and more like a circus of Putin's minion, you know, tripping over themselves to lay down the red carpet for the war criminal. And clapping like trained seals, you know. There is no positive, tangible outcome, only harm. Trump crossed out all previous endeavors, diplomatic endeavors, suggesting land swaps and neutrality. Has he forgotten that Ukraine proved its neutrality the day it gave up its nuclear arsenal? You know, the only outcome of that meeting is that Putin gained some leverage. And neither president took press questions after their discussions. So what was that all about?
President Trump has said there could now be a path for talks between the Ukraine president and President Putin, with America there as well. How do you think that could play out?
I don't think it will really take place. It will happen. I don't think Putin will ever agree to talk to Zelensky. And there is nothing to talk about. Actually, peace begins when he leaves our land. And stops killing innocents, and nothing less, and nothing less. We won't settle for less. You know, it's clear as a day. And I'm really grateful for the stance of the UK officials and allies that there can be no negotiations about Ukraine without Ukraine.
This weekend marks Ukrainian Independence Day, the fourth since the Russian invasion. A shop near New Romney has lost its alcohol license after selling vodka to a 15-year-old girl who was later found unconscious. Littlestone Stores owner says he was abroad due to a family emergency, but a man behind the counter was found to have no legal right to work in the UK. The shop was already the subject of several investigations following complaints of children buying vapes. A woman says she's been reduced to tears after being surrounded by council wardens in a Kent park and threatened with a £100 fine. She'd been walking her dog at the Lower Lees Coastal Park in Folkestone last Saturday when it happened. She claims enforcement officers accused her of breaching new dog control rules, which mean pets need to be kept on leads. The council says it's investigating the complaint and will issue a response in due course.
Kent Online reports.
Now, a Medway nurse is urgently fundraising for immunotherapy after being diagnosed with an extremely rare cancer. Charlotte Flannery was told the tumour on her ovary has fewer than 100 recorded cases. The 38-year-old's latest scans were clear, but she was shocked when she was told she needs to raise £70,000.
During my treatment, I have had a couple of MRI scans. The first scan showed that a new tumour had grown. That was only after one cycle of chemo, so the professor wasn't overly concerned. I then had repeat scans after another cycle and a half, and that luckily showed no evidence of disease, which means whatever had grown last time has now gone, and it's kept my my scans are all clear, which was amazing. But at the same time, he told me I'd need immunotherapy and that I'd have to fundraise £70,000 to pay for this. As you can imagine, I was quite floored by this. It was great that the previous treatment had worked, but the way my cancer works, this is only a pause, it's not a cure. Without teaching my body to fight off the cancer cells, this is a really rare, really aggressive cancer. And some of the other cases have shown that, you know, you can get a very quick reoccurrence. And actually, the brutal honesty and truth of it is that people do die very quickly of this cancer, especially if it takes hold. So he told me I'd need to start crowdfunding because essentially my cancer is just too rare to qualify for any kind of NHS funding. There's not enough evidence because, and it won't benefit enough people, which is why this immunotherapy will not be funded. I felt quite uncomfortable about doing a crowdfunding GoFundMe. I feel like I'm begging, but at the end of the day, there is a price tag on my life of around £70,000, and I had to give it my all to be around to see my children grow up, to continue running, raising money for charity and getting back to doing a job that I absolutely adore. So I sat on the crowdfunder and tried to process it for a couple of days and then thought, right, I'm going to try it and we'll see what happens. And if not, we might just have to go with a watch and wait and pray that the cancer doesn't return and spread and kill me, quite frankly. So I launched my GoFundMe just over a week ago now, and we have tipped £26,000 in donations, which is absolutely amazing. We're over a third of the way there, so that is fantastic. We're also looking at other options to see if we can get the immunotherapy cheaper than the £70,000, which would be fantastic, but it is a very expensive treatment. As I said, we've tried all sorts. NHS won't fund it because it's too rare. There's not enough evidence. We're reaching out to the drugs companies. We are seeing what other grants we can get, but all of this takes time and we needed money to get started. Naturally, I mean, I am so grateful for everybody that has read my story, donated and shared. But I still have a long, long way to go. And I'm just asking people if they can even donate the price of a cup of coffee, every pound, every share, if they can't afford to donate anything, it all goes to helping. And by me having this treatment, I can be another research case to help people in the future as well. So, yes, I'm disappointed that it's not going to be funded. It's been emotionally exhausting trying to crowdfund, keep up with all the support, for which I'm incredibly grateful for. Also, I'm not bashing the NHS. I've worked for the NHS for 20 years. They have been absolutely amazing. The care I have received is absolutely second to none. And I do appreciate, and I understand the way that it works with the funding. I see it from the back end. So yeah, I don't want to be seen as an NHS basher, because that is not what this is about.
Well, you can also read Charlotte's story and find a link to her fundraising page by heading to the Medway pages of Kent Online. New plans have been unveiled for an estate about the size of 7 football pitches on the edge of Hadlow. The site off Carpenter's Lane and the paddock is set to have 100 homes and be within Greenbelt. Some say it will cause a strain on overstretched services, but developers reckon it will help address a lack of housing options. Bosses have launched a major scheme to boost investment and regeneration in Canterbury, Herne Bay and Whitstable. Urban design specialists have been brought in to look at what improvements could be made in the areas. The City Council is hoping the upgrades will bring in new jobs and economic investment. And we now know when the Celebrity Traitors will air. The spin-off will hit our screens in October. The cast includes Kent's Joe Wilkinson, as well as Tom Daly and Charlotte Church. They're all hoping to win £100,000 for charity.
Kent Online Sport.
Football first up, and it's another home game for Gillingham this weekend. They welcome top of the table Crewe Alexandra to Priestfield, looking to maintain their unbeaten run in League Two. Well, it follows Tuesday night's impressive 4-1 victory over Chesterfield. Let's hear first from defender Andy Smith.
Really good atmosphere around the place, good vibe. Obviously all delighted to get 3 points, and obviously 4 goals as well. It was a really important win for us. But it's now sort of full focus onto the next game and full focus ahead.
Yeah, I guess you wake up Wednesday morning and go, well, that's done now. It's a great win. It's 3 points, but there's another game Saturday and we've got to try and do the same again.
Yeah, that's it. Obviously, it's at the end of the day, it's only 3 points on the board. It doesn't really matter how they come. That's what we try and aim to do every game is to get 3 points. We'll go into every game with a game plan to try and win. And fortunately, on Tuesday, it worked. And like I say, we'll go again for Saturday and see where it leaves us.
I think Chesterfield were joint top on Tuesday. Crew are top. They come here Saturday. So they don't get any easier. It's a tough task, Crew.
Yeah, definitely. They'll be a good side. We'll do our homework on them and try and match ourselves against them best we can. Obviously, Tuesday, Chesterfield were a really good side as well. I think they were really good. But like I say, the hard work and the effort that the boys put in throughout the full team and the subs coming on, even the lads that are injured, you know, it's the full squad here. It's about everybody, the lads that aren't involved or are injured, that they help the boys that are playing. So I think as a group, we're in a really good place.
Obviously, you signed permanently in the summer. How are you enjoying life permanently here at Priestfield?
Yeah, really good. Obviously, my family have moved down into the area. I'm really enjoying being here, being a permanent player at Gillingham. I think this is what I needed in this stage of my career to come somewhere, get involved in a project and, you know, help push this club forward. You know, the club over the last couple of years, as far as I was aware before, kind of lost its way a little bit, but you know, we're just trying to, we've got a plan in place and we're just trying to build from last season and see where it leaves us.
He was chatting to Phil from the club's media team. He's also been speaking to manager Gareth Ainsworth.
The buzz has been around for a while now. The performances have been good. The buying from everyone is nice. And I'm really happy to see us get what we deserved on Tuesday night, which was a great victory and our home victory. Fans loved it and the players certainly did as well. So yeah, it's nice to have that. But we've got to get back down to earth quick and I'll make sure of that because Crew will be a tough test on Saturday and I'll make sure that the next 2 days are working hard on what Crew potentially could bring and how we beat them. And that's the focus on the next 48 hours.
How difficult is that psychologically to get collectively everyone to refocus on the next game rather than thinking too much of the last one?
Yeah, I was probably the experience I've had in my career has helped me a lot, you know. And I think the younger you are, the probably more hit the ground with a bang. Sometimes it happens, but it's my job to make sure that it doesn't happen to any of my players. You know, when I was a younger manager, it definitely happened to me, and you can get carried away with it. But you know, there's absolutely no way in the world that I'll let them rest on any laurels until you know, that final whistle in the final game goes. But we are ready for Crew. That's what I'm saying. You know, we're in a good position, both mentally and physically. Some injuries returning, as we saw on Tuesday, and some squad selection headaches now, which is where I want it to be.
You mentioned Crew, that always a threat in this division under Lee Bell. Always there or thereabouts, very streetwise. They know the level. What kind of fixture are you expecting? A similar one to midweek?
Yeah, you know, they're up there as well as Chesterfield were. They've started the season well. They have some players in form. It will be another tough test for us, without a doubt. You know, known over their years for their playing football, style of football, popping the ball around. You know, as a few managers have been quoted saying. When I analyse the games, you know, without giving anything away, I go into all sorts of detail and different things I look for. So, we'll be ready, but it will be a tough test, as all League Two games are, you know. I think I'm hoping that we'll be as much a worry to every other opposition manager as I do my due diligence on them. It's the way I work, and yeah, we'll be ready for them. But it will be a tough test. They've got history now in in four games of being a very good side in this league, and we've got to make sure that we're on our best.
Kick-off tomorrow is at 3. You'll be able to follow the match action at Kent Online. Plus, we'll have reaction to the result in bulletins over on our sister radio station, KMFM, on Sunday. On to cricket, and Kent have won their latest game in the One Day Cup. The Spitfires bowled Northamptonshire Steelbacks out for 243 and reached the victory target with 7 wickets to spare. Teenage batter Ben Dawkins hit 111. Not out for Kent. Elsewhere, Dover's Tammy Beaumont has been named in England's 15-player squad for the Women's Cricket World Cup. Sarah Glenn and Danny Wyatt-Hodge return after being left out of the ODI series against India earlier this summer. The tournament is being hosted in India and Sri Lanka and starts in September. And Kent's Sam Billings has led Oval Invincibles to another win in the 100. They completed a thrilling run chase to beat Trent Rockets last night, reaching their victory target of 172 with 11 balls to spare. And finally, in rugby, the Women's World Cup gets underway later with England taking on the USA. It's hoped the tournament will encourage more girls to get involved in the sport. Lucy's been chatting to 18-year-old Olivia Collins, who plays for Medway Rugby Club.
When did you first start playing rugby, Olivia, and what made you want to get into it?
So it was 2020. I was inspired by my family. So both my granddads used to play rugby. And my dad plays rugby. So, yeah, I started around that time because we were having a conversation about it. And then, yeah, I just fell in love with it, continued playing rugby.
And travelling from Canterbury to Medway, that's quite a distance. You do that for sort of training sessions and everything?
Yeah, it is. But when I started, there wasn't as many rugby clubs around that offer girls rugby. So Medway was one of the ones. Obviously, they've got the biggest girls section, so we travelled up there, and also because of my family, they've always played there.
Let's talk a bit about the Women's World Cup. So England playing USA in the first game. How excited are you? What do you think their chances are for the tournament?
I'm really excited. I think they've got a really good chance this year. Like, England is such a strong team. They've put a really strong team out. So I'm really confident they're going to do well, and it's going to be a good game to start off with.
And obviously we've seen how women's football has inspired more girls and women to get into football. Do you think this will do the same for rugby, for people who maybe haven't considered playing the sport before, whether they're sort of women or young girls, maybe parents with young children?
Yeah, I definitely think it is. I will. I think with more people watching it, and like especially with the games being held in England, I think a lot of more people are going to be watching it and inspired to take up rugby.
How have you seen things change since you started playing in 2020? I mean, over the last 5 years, have things grown quite a lot?
Yeah, definitely a lot. So like when I started, there was barely any rugby girls team. It was under 15s I started. So yeah, I had to travel to Medway for that. But now, like, there's loads of teams available. When we play league games and stuff, we've got loads of teams. We travel all around to play games. So it has definitely grown. I think through like people watching rugby and watching more games, and obviously the role models of international players, more girls are picking up rugby and joining in.
I suppose it could be seen by some people, and maybe has been for a long time, as more of a boys' sport because it's quite physical. Yeah. And obviously you have the contact. Is that something that you would want to kind of dispel from people's minds?
Yeah, I think definitely people shouldn't think it's a boys' sport. When I started, obviously, I had that thought in my mind that it's going to be a high contact sport and it could be scary. But I think people should just go into it, try it out, see how they feel.
Do you have a sort of message to anyone who might be interested? What's the best way to start?
Honestly, just go try it out, see how you feel. Go with an open mind that it's not a boys' sport and that it's just like any other sport.
Tonight's game takes place in Sheffield with play due to get underway at 7:30. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, you just need to head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Nicola Everett or one word at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription. Don't forget, if you're on the site today, you can check out the latest review from our secret drinker and head to the What's On pages for details on everything going on in the county over the bank holiday weekend. Hope you have a fantastic few days. We'll be back with the podcast on Tuesday.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.